So as we prepare to hear scripture, let us prepare by offering our prayer of illumination. Will you pray with me? The words are in your bulletin or on the screen. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So we actually have two readings this week. And if you notice, the cover art is the Word of Life, which is based really on 1 John. And so our first reading comes to us from 1 John chapter 3. And I will share that with you, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins, and no one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And now a reading from the Gospel according to Luke, and in fashion of dawn from last week, I invite you to stand in the hearing of the Gospel text today, stand in body or spirit. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do your doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, in this Easter season, as we remember and remember as the resurrected body of Christ, remind us that it is a shift in your story, a time for us to better understand what it means to live with the cross empty. And on this day, as we hear these words of what it means to be your beloved children, open our hearts and minds that we may hear with fresh ears what you would have us hear this day. That the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're in Easter season, and this is a season following Easter Sunday, and we do this up until we recognize the ascension of Jesus, which says about 40 days into post tomb, empty tomb. And then there are 10 days leading into Pentecost, right? So I'm just giving you a foretaste. This is our roadmap. This is where we're going, right? And we're in this season of where Jesus's disciples are continuing to process their experience of having been followers and learners and hearing all of the teachings of Jesus, and then to see what happened to Jesus. And a lot of times, and we focus so much on Holy Week, and it is important, and we get caught up in the suffering of Jesus and the laying in the tomb and finding that tomb empty on Sunday, just as Mary did, that we forget that there is some fundamental truths about that event, that we are not intended to stay in that Lenten season, that we are not intended to stay in that suffering. We are meant to find that tomb empty, knowing that Jesus meets us where we are and that we are called to live a resurrected life. That Christ died so that we may have life. Life built on the law. And the law that we hear through Scripture is not one of those punitive type of laws, but it comes down fundamentally to this: the law to love God and love one another as God has loved us and as Jesus showed us what that love can look like. So last week, Don really asked you, and I was listening. I didn't watch, but I listened, and I realized that he opened up an umbrella here in the sanctuary. How many of you were here last week when he did that? And did that freak y'all out? Yes, it did. Be like, oh, why did he open up an umbrella, right? And the point that he was making is there are some things that we hold on to that we, you know, cling to in times, and basically he asked that question, what do you believe, right? What do you hold on to in those seasons of difficulty and those seasons of joy? What is it that you believe? And that is so at the core of what the Gospel of John is about belief of signs and miracles and coming to have faith in something that we have not seen and yet in which we believe, and how sometimes our life actions is evidence of disbelief. God help me in my unbelief. God help me in my disbelief. And so we have this, right? And so when we come to this and we're hearing yet another story of Jesus's appearance to his closest friends, that they are this whole big mix of emotions, right? Like they're exhilarated, there's joy, there's concern, there's worry, all of the things. How many of you often feel all of the things all at the same time? Yeah. Have y'all ever gotten one of those emotion circles? And sometimes the very, very basic ones are sad, mad, and glad. Right? Like those are the basics, but then you can kind of nuance them into different ways. And so I imagine that they were feeling all of those things all at the same time. And so he's showing up to them where they are. And he's really just amazing because he says, you know, peace be with you. And then what does Jesus do? He asks them for something to eat, right? Like, did y'all notice that he's saying, look, I'm not a ghost. I'm standing here in bones and flesh. I'm live right here because I conquered death. I overcame sin. I am giving you new life. I am that new life standing in front of you. And hey, by the way, because I am the new life, I need something to eat to nourish my body. Right? Like, if we make that extrapolation, if y'all, how many of you ever deal with small children, and I would even say some adults, and you have to do that mental checklist of, are they tired? Are they hungry? Are they wearing uncomfortable shoes? Like, is there some, do you know what I mean? And you're kind of like going through that mental checklist, and that's what Jesus was. He was like, are they Are they tired? Of course. Are they uncomfortable? Most likely because they've been locked up for days, not knowing what's going to happen. And are they hungry? Let's get back to the basics, right? Let's get back to the basics of what they might need. And so Jesus meets them where they are, right there in the basics. And sometimes that's what we are called to do as well. And I was thinking, and how many of you, and I love this because Don did a great job of setting this up. How many of you have heard people say, well, I'm a believer in Jesus? How many of you have said that? I'm a believer in Jesus, right? But that term can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like, I believe in Jesus. Well, there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus who may not live a life that reveals the truth of God, right? Like, yeah, I believe Jesus existed, but they may not follow what Jesus taught. So today, yes, we need to have that belief, and we have that unbelief, and we have that disbelief, but I'm going to challenge us to go another step farther, to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, and I make that conscious decision to be a disciple. Do you see the difference there? Belief is to have, a believer is, I have basic belief. Like, I understand this. A disciple is one who basically embodies that and bears witness to that. Right? So, for me to be your pastor, to be here to proclaim the word of truth, is with that understanding that God is asking more of us so that we can bear witness to the world. Because a lot of times people will say, I'm a believer, and their actions speak something totally different. Do y'all know anything like that? Have you seen it anywhere else? I'm seeing some like, oh my gosh, yes. Right? And then what happens is they say, well, if that's a believer, I don't want anything to do with that. Does that make sense? Because it is teaching you something that you may not want to be a part of. And that is not what God asks of us. It is not what Jesus asks of us. Jesus reveals something to us that can only have come through what Jesus did for us. And it's that law of God to love God and to love one another. That we are called to move beyond faith and belief and to live it in action and truth. How we embody it, how we interact with individuals, how we engage in the world, how we speak to one another. Are we paying attention to those places? Are we doing that mental checklist? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you cold? Are you lonely? Just like Jesus did. Last Sunday morning, I was in D.C. With my youngest sister. Now, mind you, my youngest sister is 16 years younger than me. Yeah. And she was running the Cherry Blossom 10-miler. And I've run a lot of races, and I'm not saying I'm the fastest. But I did go the same distance, and I got my medals at the end, right? And I have all of that experience, right, of having lived this before. And I was talking to her husband, Rob, and I said, hey, Rob, she's going to hit a wall. There's going to come a point in that race where she doesn't think that she's going to be able to go one more step. And she's going to want to quit. I don't know when that's going to be or where that's going to be, but I know it's going to happen. And we need to be prepared for that. And he's like, oh, okay. Okay, whatever you say. And sure enough, I said, you stand here. I'm going up there. I'm going to meet her. I told her to be here. I will be there at 5.25 miles. So she was looking for me. And she said, I don't think I can do this. I said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Give me your shirt. You're hot. You're tired. Unload everything. Give it to me. Your words create your reality. If you think you can't, you won't. If you think you can, you will. Put one step in front of the other, and you will make it to that finish line. Now get your butt moving and get back out there, right? And she's like, oh, okay. If you knew my sister, you would understand that that was a very good rendition. And she totally missed her husband. Never saw him. And she's like, I was looking for you. He's like, I didn't know what shirt you were wearing. I had no idea. You know, so totally missed him at mile 5. And we were hanging out, and I said, I'm going to go meet her at mile 9. Because I know she's going to need it. And he said, you can do that? I said, yeah. So here I am getting to mile 9. And I'm standing there knowing I'm tracking her, and I see all these people, and I'm like, you have 1 mile standing between you and your favorite breakfast. You have 1 mile standing between you and a well-deserved Sunday nap. You are 1 mile away from your favorite breakfast beverage. Keep going. You can do it, right? And they, you know, some people can't hear you because they have AirPods in. But anyway, I saw my sister, and I'm blasting music on my phone, which not very effective, but I was there, and I was like, you can do this, go, go, go. Then I saw my sister, and she was like, I was like, hey, and I start running with her, right? Mind you, I'm wearing boots. I was a dummy and didn't wear my sneakers. And I'm running next to her, and she's going at a pretty good pace. And then I saw a young lady who looked like she was about to stumble. And Sam said to me, you want to go check on her? And I said, yeah. So my sister kept going, and I dropped back, and I stood next to this young lady. I said, are you doing okay? And she's like, my legs are giving out on me. I said, I totally understand. There's no shame in walking one step in front of the other. I said, don't go down because the EMS will be on you. Like, you got to keep walking. She's like, I've never done this before. This is my first race. I said, I've been there, done that. I know what it's like. You can do this. And we were walking a little bit farther. Why do I say this? I could have stayed with my sister, and I could have run her to the finish line. But she and I both recognized a need on that race course. And even though this person was a stranger, I walked alongside of her. And I said, you can do this. It's similar to when those disciples were gathered in those locked rooms trying to figure out what life was going to look like. But Jesus showed up to them and said, you can do this. You can be my witnesses to the world. You can let my love be shown. You can let the world know, starting here and spreading all over, that the gift that I offer to you is the same gift I offer to everyone else. This relationship with God, this relationship with one another, that is what Jesus reveals in the resurrected life. This promise that wherever we are, God meets us. Whether it's in our suffering, our struggles, or in our joys and our anticipations, whatever this life stage is, God is with us. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Friends, choose to be more than a simple believer. Choose to be a disciple who embodies this profound love and reveals this true life so that others may come to know it and live in it and depend on it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.